Hi, my name's Julie Mackin. Welcome to More Civil Societies. Well, we're now well and truly into the next federal election campaign. It's coming, ready or not. Look, I know it's popular to have a bit of a whinge about the campaigns as politicians descend on any unprotected kids and babies to kiss and fuss over. And it's obviously a really bad time to be in hospital because you're never sure when a politician accompanied by a few thousand reporters are going to crash through the door and shake your hand, pat your shoulder and commiserate and then explain to the watching folks at home how much your treatment's costing us. Look, the truth is this is our big chance to put the things we care about on the agenda. And let's face it, the rest of the time the agenda is well and truly set by lobbyists, corporations and powerfully well-connected interest groups. And I'm thinking that probably doesn't include huge amounts of our listening audience, though goodness gracious, if it does, listen up. We have 5 or 6 weeks to tell our potential representatives what matters to us. And in that spirit, I want to talk about something that sits at the very broken centre of the nation. It's youth suicide, and in particular, the suicide rate of First Nation people and First Nation kids. We're 4 months into this year, and already there have been at least 35 suicides of Indigenous people. 3 of those were little kids, no older than 12. The Kimberley region, which is one of the most extraordinary places on earth, has the highest suicide rate in the country. In fact, if the Kimberley was a country, it would have the highest suicide rate in the world. A recent inquest investigated 13 deaths that occurred in the Kimberley region in less than 4 years, including 5 kids aged between 10 and just 13. The coroner said the deaths had been shaped by the crushing effects of intergenerational trauma. Look, as I started by saying, we have a few weeks to put what matters on the agenda, and this really matters. I'm going to suggest that we need to ask every candidate in this election what their plan is to begin reducing the number of people, and First Nation kids in particular, who feel there is no option but to take their own lives. I want us to ask every single candidate what their plan is, because it doesn't have to be like this. There are 2 really terrific stories in The Guardian of late. The first was on the 26th of March this year by Shannon Dodson, a Yaru woman. And she says in part, "I've struggled with depression and anxiety for as long as I can remember. I'm 32 years old and only this year did I have the first psychologist ever ask me about my family history and acknowledge the intergenerational trauma that runs through Indigenous families. My family," this is Shannon speaking, "my family has suffered from ongoing systematic racism and research has shown that racism impacts Aboriginal people in the same way as a traumatic event. My family and community have suffered premature deaths from suicide, preventable health issues, grief and inextricable trauma. We can break this cycle of trauma." And I got to tell you, listeners, this is the part where Shannon lays out where the solutions lie. And I really want us to listen up to this, and I really want us to make the argument to any candidates that we're speaking to that there are solutions at hand. Shannon says, "We need culturally safe, Indigenous-designed suicide prevention programs and to destigmatise conversations around mental health. My hope is that by sharing my own experience of dealing with this complex subject, other people will be able to see that intergenerational trauma affects all our mob." I'm really grateful for her to have had the courage to write that. The second story was also in The Guardian, and it was in last Sunday. It was an edited extract from a book by Sarah Madison called The Colonial Fantasy. Look, the whole article is worth reading, as I'm sure the book will be, but the part I wanted to highlight was where she described what works, because I reckon the ongoing assault of colonisation in Australia, part of it is the story that when it comes to issues surrounding Indigenous communities, it's all hopeless and it has always been thus. That is a big lie. Anyway, back to the article. In it, she quotes Stephen Cornell from the Native Nations Institute, where Stephen argues that in the United States, self-determination has been the only overarching policy that has shown sustained evidence of actually improving the condition of Native peoples. It was a quote. Precisely because self-determination has put substantive decision-making power in Aboriginal hands. Drawing on decades of research on the resurgence and success of Native nations, Stephen argues that there are three important things happen when Indigenous people gain power over their own affairs. And this is all a quote from Stephen. He says, first, bureaucratic priorities are replaced by Indigenous priorities, thereby gaining Indigenous support for initiatives and programs. Second, decisions begin to reflect local knowledge and concerns, one of the great fantasies of colonialism still alive in the Indigenous affairs bureaucracies of the world, is the idea that we know what's best for you, but we don't. And the third thing that happens is that decisions get linked to consequences. When Indigenous people themselves are in charge, they pay the price for bad decisions, reap the reward for good ones. Jurisdiction, in other words, creates accountability. In Australia, however, the Indigenous Affairs policy has gone in exactly the opposite direction, continuing to exert ever more heavy-handed controls over Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people and communities, despite all the evidence that this is failing utterly. That's it. We have an enormous issue and a brokenness at the heart of who we are as Australia in youth suicide and the suicide of First Nation people. We know what works, and that is handing control, agency and resources into the hands of Indigenous communities. We have an election coming up, and for all non-Indigenous listeners, I reckon we start paying the rent by making this issue a primary issue in the coming election.